Thank you, Sandra. Good morning, Oasis family, those in the building and those in your own buildings. So, I don't know, win-win, I guess, depending on where you are and where you want to be. For those of you who don't know, my name's Asher, and it's a real privilege to be with you all this morning and see some smiley faces. Like, there's nothing to be scared of. It's more daunting for me, so... The message that I'm sharing this morning has actually come from a quote that I read recently that really got me thinking. Ironically, it got me thinking about what I was thinking, which will come out in a minute. But I thought it was interesting that Josh spoke this morning about Sundays being a good time to reflect on the previous week and to think about whether it had been a good week or whether it had been a bad week. And that's quite interesting. So let me read this quote that sort of sent me on down a bit of a rabbit hole learning about thinking, which is that our anxiety about our problems is becoming our biggest problem. And I thought, how true is that? Because you'll know from your own experiences that you can have a real issue, and then on top of that issue, there's all the what-ifs and the worry and the fear and the tension and the stress. And then all of a sudden, this issue that was a reasonable issue is much bigger, and all the worry can actually obscure that original issue from view. It becomes harder to see and therefore harder to resolve. And this isn't like 21st century problems. Like, this has always been a problem, which is why Paul had said, "Do not be anxious about anything." And like, it's not easy, but it's a relatively simple instruction. Do not be anxious. So we read in Philippians 4:6, he says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Okay. But then he goes on in verse 8 to say, "Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." Think about such things. And this is where I really started to think about what I was thinking, which is essentially that our mind is essentially the control tower of our life. And whatever happens in our life starts here. All of our decisions are there. And the truth is that wherever we are today in our lives is as a result of what's been going on up here for all these years. The Bible says, "As a man thinketh, so is he." And I'm wondering, so if I don't like what's going on around me, should I be asking myself, what am I thinking about? What do I think about myself? What do I think about other people? Because what we think about is really what controls us. So, for example, our relationship with God, our relationship with one another, a sense of direction and purpose, whatever we accomplish in life, all of that is as a result of what we think. And I think oftentimes we forget that. We can't control everyone or everything and all the circumstances in our life, but we are going to respond to circumstances in one way or another. And I think some people are where they are in life because of wrong thinking, and some people are where they are in life because of right thinking. And so if we were going to unpack that a little bit more, what we need to start by asking ourselves is, what is it that determines what I think? And I can't answer these questions for your life, but I can answer them for my own life. But is it the word of God? Or is it something else that I read? Is it something that I watch? I wonder how many people sit down and open their minds to a television program that is essentially programming their mind to think in a certain way without realizing. You could ask me, does that include preaching? And it does. It does. But I want you to listen carefully today, because I want you to be programmed to think the right way, to think the way that God thinks, programmed to understand the word of God, programmed in such a way that we would live in a way that is pleasing and honourable to God. So If we can go to Colossians 3, verses 1 to 8. Paul writes, "Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways, in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips." And Paul is essentially explaining to us here that when we're baptized, we're reborn, and our old life is dead. We have a new life, and when our old life dies, so should our old behaviors. He says, "Since this is a new life, keep seeking the things above." That doesn't mean that we should forget about the things of this life necessarily, because we have responsibilities and such. The dog still needs walking, the children still need feeding. But keep seeking the things above, to be seated at the right hand of God. He says, "Set your mind on the things above." Well, we're going to set our minds on something. So why not things that are righteous and worthy and godly and helpful? The pathway to controlling our thoughts begins by understanding our relationship with Jesus. If we don't understand that, then we're never going to understand the idea of controlling our thoughts, because that's really where it all begins. Paul says we were raised with Jesus. A change took place when we were saved. And as a result of that, God intended there to be a change. This mind of ours controls everything in our life. So this requires us to understand our thoughts. If we want to think right, if I want to think holy, if I want to think justly, then this is where it all starts. What we think determines how we live. What we think determines our relationship to God, our relationship to others, and even our relationship with ourselves. Many people start out in life impeded by others who tell them that they won't amount to much. They have this wrong with them or that wrong with them. And as a result, they go through life having heard, written in their minds, impressed in their thinking, "My mother said it, my father said it, it must be true, therefore." And those people are ruined as a result of what they've been taught and by what they've heard. So how do we control our thoughts? Once we're saved, we're changed, but often our environment is unchanged. How can we think godly in an ungodly world? And let's be honest, some people's environments are worse than others. If someone gets saved in a family and no one else in that family gets saved, that's hard. If the family doesn't read the Bible, or they use foul language, or a whole load of other things, all of a sudden we have a godly life surrounded by an ungodly environment and circumstances. And I think we can actually have people come to church year after year and nobody explains to them or helps them to understand that actually this is how we should be thinking. And you can only think this way if certain things are true. But of course, there are challenges to thinking godly, but still, thinking godly is absolutely essential to success in life, to live with ourselves and to live with others and to accomplish whatever God has in mind for us. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, we read that the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Now that's Satan, and he blinds the mind of the unbeliever so that they can't, don't want to see the truth. We read in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3, "But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ." So Satan, he will blind the mind of the unbeliever and he will deceive the mind of the believer. And I think this is why sometimes we can come across someone who will profess to be living a life as a believer when we know that how they're living is absolutely not biblical. And that's because they're deceived. They're deceived by what they hear, by what they see, by what they feel. The enemy, he works in our minds. He's not working in our hands or our feet. The battlefield in every person's life is right here. Satan working in your mind will allow you to recall things that happened to you years and years ago. Maybe things that were bad. Someone hurt you. Someone wronged you or mistreated you. And you can keep recalling it. And each time that you do, it's a bad feeling. We have the power to recall. But if that mind of ours is full of things that are unpleasant, if our minds have been blinded, as we've just read, then we'll suffer the results. And so the mind is very important, and it will be deceived by the devil unless we fill it with the truth of God. But that's not just reading the Bible every once in a while. You know, this isn't a check-in, check-out type thing. What we think is imprinted on our minds, and it might take a couple of weeks for us to forget about it, but it's still in there. This is why we can remember things that happened to us years and years ago. And then on the other hand, you can forget what you walked into a room to do. And you're like, oh, why am I here? The mind is a very strange thing, but whatever we put in there is there to stay until Jesus delivers us from it. And our life is an expression of what we think. If you don't like what you're thinking, then you can change what you're thinking. If you're angry, you can lay it down. If you feel that you're a nobody and worthless, you can lay it down. If you're jealous of someone, you can lay it down. Pride, criticism, rejection, greed, all these things and more, we can lay them down. If we choose to, that is. And if you say that you can't, or you're convinced that you can't, or you've been fighting it for years, and here's the good news. The good news is that we have the Holy Spirit living in us as believers. And you might remember that Jesus referred to him as the helper. And when he comes, he'll be in you, with you, in you, and upon you. And one of the Holy Spirit's responsibilities living inside of us is to enable us to think rightly, to remember our scripture, to think right about God and Jesus, our life, others. That's why he's there. He's our helper. We're responsible for what we think and how we think it. And as believers, we have the Spirit of God living within us to enable us to think right. We sow a thought and we reap an action and respond. We sow an action and we reap a habit that keeps sowing the same action. We sow a habit and we reap a character. Habits in our life determine our character. We sow a character and we become something. We reap a destiny. This is who we are and this is our future. And don't forget that unseen thoughts produce visible consequences in our lives. No one else in the world knows what we're thinking up here, but what we're thinking will eventually come out and be visible in our words and our actions. And if you feel unworthy and that no one cares about you, then that is going to be visible on your face. You'll display no joy, no happiness. It's going to show. It'll be a part of your life. You'll carry that. But that right there comes from our thinking. And let me tell you that we should not think less of ourselves than God thinks of us. And he died for us. Regardless of what anyone else says about you, you are a child of God. And we must remember that and think rightly about that, despite what the world might say about us. So, I know you all want to know. So how do we control our thoughts? Don't know how many times I've asked that. I might answer it eventually. Well, when a thought comes into our mind, we're either going to accept it and express it, we're going to wrestle with it or deny it, which will just cause it to get deeper and deeper, or we're going to control it. And because we have the Holy Spirit working within us, we can control what we think. And if I'm going to control my thinking, then I have to understand that. We have inside of us the power of the Spirit of God to enable us to think rightly. And there's some questions that we can ask ourselves. Where will these thoughts lead me? If I keep thinking the same thing, where will it lead me? Will these thoughts get me to where I want to be? And I guess before you can answer that, you need to decide, where is it that I want to be? Are these thoughts scripturally acceptable? And if they're not, shut them down. Will these thoughts build me up or tear me down? Because they'll do one or the other, and there's no in between. When we see and hear things that we know are not right, ungodly, unworthy, then we know that the real truth is we're going to get torn down spiritually. So we have to decide if we're going to watch, if we're going to look, if we're going to listen. Could I share these thoughts with someone else? And I'm not suggesting that we start sharing everything we know about ourselves with everyone that we come across. But on a daily basis, what we're thinking, could we share that with someone else? Where do these thoughts originate? Because I can tell you that some thoughts do not originate from heaven. They do not originate from reading the Bible. They do not originate from godly living. They do not originate from anything that is good for us. And all these questions, we have the right and the power to answer for our lives. Nobody can answer them for us, but we can. All of us, wherever we are in our lives, we're where we are as a result of how we've been thinking all these years. So, how have you been thinking about yourself all these years? How have you been thinking about God? How have you been thinking about your relationship with others? Because I can tell you that we can't take our mind out of there and put someone else's in, except for Jesus. When he says we have the mind of Christ, when you trusted Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, he gave us the power to think the way he thinks. And that doesn't mean that we're going to be as wise as he is or have all the knowledge that he has. But it gives us the power and the right to think godly as his children. We can ask ourselves, do these thoughts fit who I am as a follower of Jesus? And if you're not a follower of Jesus, then anything goes. But once we trust Jesus as our Saviour, there are some thoughts that don't fit us anymore. So we make choices based on who we see ourselves to be as followers of Jesus. There are some places that don't fit us, some words that don't fit us, some thoughts that don't fit us, some clothes that don't fit us. That's not just a lockdown, I'm not just talking about that. There are actions, attitudes and habits that no longer fit us when we become followers of Jesus. In 2 Corinthians 6:17, he says, "Come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord." We are to think differently. We are to act differently. We are to look differently if we're following Jesus instead of the world. Remember, Paul said, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking. That's not once. That is a lifestyle. Feast on it. Part of our diet. The things of above. To set our mind on things that are pleasing to the Father. What did Jesus teach? How did he live? No matter who you are, the devil will see to it that you don't remember much if you don't commit to reading your scripture regularly. And that doesn't mean all day, every day, reading your Bible. But to keep seeking is to make up a big part of our thinking about what God's thinking. And what kind of thinking is that? Well, I believe that Jesus is thinking about us personally and concerning our lives individually. He's thinking, what's best for you? What's best for you this morning? What's best for you in your job? What's best for you with your friends? What's best for you with your money? What's best? What's best? What's best for you? Paul says, keep seeking the things above. And then he says, set your mind. And both of these use a form of the word that means continually. We read in Colossians 3:16, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Our old lives are dead. And so now, as followers of Christ, we should be thinking God's thoughts. What does he think? How does he want me to live? And remember that when we're thinking God's thoughts, we are thinking the most powerful thoughts that there are. And when we think his thoughts, we get to see what it is that he thinks about us. And when we focus on what God thinks about, that he's forgiven us, that he cares for us, that he wants the best for us, then we start to see things happen in our life. Our mind is a control tower, and it's our responsibility about the decisions that we make, what we read, what we listen to, what we watch. In Psalm 119, verse 9, it asks, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. Two verses later, in verse 11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. We need to fill our control tower with truth. To ensure the control tower has the right sense of direction, that we're evaluating things as they are and not how they appear to be. You decide who you want to be. You decide what you want to accomplish. You decide how you want to live. All right here. You decide whether you want to be accepted or rejected. You make a lot of decisions in your life, right up here. And that's where the battlefield is. Satan wants to pull you one way, and God wants to pull you the other way. And Satan has never done you any good. He has lied to you. He has deceived you and made you promises that not a single one of them has come true. And through deception, he tells you, you'll enjoy this. But what he doesn't tell you is that you'll only enjoy it for a season. And whatever you do today, you will reap tomorrow. There are consequences. There is a cost, a price to pay someday. And I'll finish with this, which is that if you're having a problem in a particular area of your life, then ask yourself, where did that come from? because it didn't come from this extravagant, awesome word of truth that's in my heart and my mind. And if it doesn't fit that, then it doesn't fit me. Amen.